Hey, listeners of the Conversations podcast, this is Ro from the Scare of Scuttlebutt podcast. Just wanted to stop by and record a very important message on this very special episode of Conversations. Charles struggles to overcome a very present discomfort, discussing one of his favorite characters, Qui-Gon Jinn. Just want you to know that it's all Pat's fault. And now on to Conversations Podcast.
This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Let it go, let it go. Da, 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 da. Honey, where are you at? It's time to record our latest episode of the Hyperion Adventures. What is going on here?
Hi, sweetie. Check it out. I've got those Black Series figures I picked up all ready for a photo shoot. What do you think?
I think you've been listening to Pat and Charles way too much.
Well, I'm not going to say they didn't give some inspiration to me, but this is all my idea. Look, I have Cassie and Jinn in the pilot set up to play as mixed triplets of curling on Hoth. You know, they had a vacation in the Caribbean earlier this year, so nice, cool sports seems pretty appropriate to fight this summer heat. Pretty awesome, right?
Sure. I mean, we have a Disney podcast to record. Can you please play with your dolls later?
There you go again. You know, Pat and Charles would remind you they are figures.
Yeah, well, I love those Conversations guys. They do a great podcast, but they're also a couple of chuckleheads. Those are dolls.
Now, is that the way to talk about our friends? I thought our show was all about positivity.
Yeah, you're right. I'm positive. They've been a really bad influence on you.
Stop. Let's just get this week's Hyperion Adventure podcast out of the way so we can catch the latest episode of Conversations.
Perfect. We'll double their listening audience.
You're such a dork.
Hey, Pat and Charles. Cam here.
And Bub.
And Bub, always.
Thank you.
You kind of remind me of another favorite duo of mine. So this is for you guys.
Catch you.
Conversations, you're the one. You make Star Wars lots of fun.
Yeah, you do.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with you. Sing it, Bubby.
Zooby-dooby-doo.
Yeah, Bub.
Pat and Charles, you're so grand. Never afraid to lend a helping hand.
That's true.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with.
Absolutely be strong with.
I see what you did.
Oh.
Oh.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with you.
May the Force be with you guys.
Love you, dudes.
Hello, and welcome to Conversations. I'm Charles.
And I'm Pat, and I think we're recording. This is episode 108.
The Force surrounds us, guides us, and sets the fate of us all in motion. But perhaps it can also take a different path, a path that can only be seen through the world of the wills. Okay, we have a heavy one tonight, don't we?
Yeah, it's very interesting one, but gets wackadoodle real quick. Real quick. So this, what if Qui-Gon Jinn survived the Phantom Menace?
Well, first of all, I'd like to submit my answer is that he survives all the way through the Rise of Skywalker. Thank you very much. I'm done.
Well, that's foolish of you. Furthermore, since you're so eager to jump in with this, why don't you explain yourself?
Oh, wow. Okay, so Qui-Gon Jinn is very close to my heart for his character, his focus, his drive, and I cosplayed him at Star Wars Celebration in Chicago. He is a very important character to me and many others as well for being arguably one of the best examples of a Jedi. And his training certainly gives him that edge on being, I guess, outside of the Jedi Council for their views and how regimentary they are for following procedure and keeping within tradition of what the council does, which, you know, made him a tough candidate to be part of the council, although he was offered a council seat when he was the master for Obi-Wan. It was a tough thing for him to accept, and which he rejected because he felt that he was still outside of the council. He found that more of the Force learnings needed to be done before he accepted that role as a council member. So that being said, it sets the groundwork for why I love Qui-Gon and why I think he's one of the best examples of a Jedi. So it's very interesting for me to think that if he had existed through the Phantom Menace, how his character would have changed, formed, or at least influenced the way the Jedi Council would have seen the threats of the Sith, the oncoming war, how they would have affected the galaxy, and in specifically the Republic, how they would have approached their pros and cons of making it happen, how they would have made it more acceptable for the Republic to accept a role within a contentious break between the CIS, well, the Confederation of Independent Systems, and the
Senate.
Well, the Senate, or like the
Republic.
The Republic, yeah. And yeah, how they were trying to keep everyone happy within that that system while still experiencing the outer rim pressures to keep all these systems in line. And then you still have Sidious, of course, playing his role and trying to create conflict. So Qui-Gon was a key element within this conflict that who had discovered Anakin as a Padawan and a Force user set off a very critical path to what could have been a story-changing arc within all of the prequel movies, and if he had existed, would have changed many of the story threads, and we're going to explore those tonight.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a fundamental change when you have a character that was sacrificed for a specific purpose in a film, and then you unsacrifice them. It fundamentally changes things. It really does, which is an interesting idea to explore for sure.
So as you had said, let me
let me present
my story thread as if Qui-Gon hadn't died in the Phantom Menace.
Yes, please do.
All right. First of all, when Qui-Gon first presented Anakin Skywalker as the Chosen One to the Jedi Council, and whether it's Mace or Yoda, who were skeptical that he was the Chosen One, that was his first indication that they didn't take seriously that he was the Chosen One, regardless of what he had seen in the field and whatever evidence he had presented to them. That was his first step that, like, this isn't going what I expected. So Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Anakin escorted and accompanied Amidala back to Naboo to uncover Darth Maul. So this is still part of the series that we see in the movies, and we haven't deviated yet from that storyline. So the council is skeptical. The council has yet to test him. but Anakin is sort of an accompaniment for them as they see fit, that they haven't taken him away from Qui-Gon and or Obi-Wan. So he's definitely accompanying them and learning what the process of the Jedi are going to be. And so for tonight, we're talking about how Qui-Gon lives through the battle with Maul on Naboo, and he does not die. So he slices Maul in half, and Maul is the one who falls through the shaft. Qui-Gon lives through it. So this is where we take over from the canon story that Qui-Gon is dead. Okay, sorry. Let me say that again.
Yeah, it's just kind of mentioned how, you know, it deviates from current canon in Qui-Gon destroying Darth Maul. And then just kind of splinter off that way.
Right. So in this case, Qui-Gon bests Maul, slices him in half, and he falls through the shaft. And Obi-Wan, who was held behind those force field walls, comes out and sees that Qui-Gon has bested Maul and still alive, and sees Maul fall down the shaft. So this sets off our what if. So Qui-Gon sees Maul falling down the shaft, and from this point on, first of all, he sees him as a Sith. Okay, just a second here. Just a second. Wait.
Did you do any research?
I did like shit ton of notes. I've got so many notes here. Let me bring them up.
I'm just messing with you. Okay.
Okay, let's take it from the top here. All right.
Take it from the top. Anybody that listens would know that we're deviating from current canon at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So yours basically fractures off at the point where Qui-Gon bests Maul in a one-on-one.
Right. On okay. Naboo.
Okay.
And that's where the fracture happens.
Okay.
So Obi-Wan witnesses it, and the biggest point that Qui-Gon sees is that, first of all, the council doesn't see that Anakin is the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
So he's befuddled by that to a certain degree.
Sure.
And so they present this to the Jedi Council, and the general consensus is that, well, we'll look into it. You know, we need to research this. And this is part of his long ingrained suspicion of the Jedi Council, which is why he originally did not accept the seat on the council, is that they were somewhat unaccepting of outside views, that they perhaps didn't have the best view of the dark side, or at least any threats. They were very comfortable in their views.
Mm-hmm.
So him and you know, we'll throw in Dooku in there as well, that had suspicions that the Jedi Council weren't being deliberate in their actions. They were just obfuscated, right? It was hidden to them. And, you know, Yoda alluded to that several times throughout the prequel trilogy, where he had said that, you know, look, we don't have the best view of the dark side of the Force. But we can't tell the council that, or at least the Senate, because that would provide us another adversary. So they definitely see that there's a weakness within Jedi Council from the threat that could be happening from the outside in. So at the end of the Phantom Menace, in this case, Qui-Gon, of course, is still alive, and he's with all of the other Jedi and Anakin and Obi-Wan on Naboo. And in this case, he would be casting a suspicious eye to Chancellor Palpatine at the celebration because of the way he says that we'll be looking at you with great interest to Anakin. So with Qui-Gon being the outsider and being trained by Count Dooku, and also having a much deeper understanding of the Living Force, my view is that Qui-Gon would be the outsider view of the Jedi Council. So anything that would threaten to the Jedi Council, he would see as an alarm. And he sees Palpatine, or in this case, Senator Palpatine, as having an interest in Anakin. His radar's already alarmed to the fact that he's taking a liking to him.
Okay.
So, upon the return to Coruscant, Qui-Gon confides in Dooku that he believes that Anakin is the chosen one, that he would like to train him. So the fact that Dooku trained Qui-Gon gives him the trust within, in the, not with the council, but with Dooku for sure, that he thinks that Anakin is a chosen one. And because when he was the Padawan of Dooku, he gained experience and very many hours of learning what these prophecies were. And this included the chosen one. And we see this in The Master and Apprentice. We see some flashbacks in Dooku Jedi Lost, where Qui-Gon, because he was the Padawan of Dooku, was exposed to Dooku's predilection to following these premonitions of what was going to happen with the Jedi Council, and the fact that the Chosen One was going to be present, and we need to look out the signs for them. So Dooku definitely followed them, but Qui-Gon was also exposed to them. So his view of what he thought Anakin was definitely would give him the safety net that he would think that Dooku would be a proper ally to at least share his view of what Anakin was. And so once he did that, Dooku, of course, would definitely be interested and see what Qui-Gon was thinking about that. And if indeed he was the Chosen One, this would buoy Dooku's disillusionment for the Jedi Order and delay his exit from the Jedi Order.
Hmm.
Because okay. When in the current canon, when we see that Qui-Gon died, it was very shortly after that Dooku exited the Jedi Order. And he saw that the fact that his Padawan, but a compatriot in the way that he saw the Jedi Council as being foreign to the outside influences of the dark side of the Force was gone. He exited the Jedi Council and went back to Sereno and became the Count there and eventually set up the CIS and that whole story. But because in this scenario that Qui-Gon existed and lived through this, it actually delayed that exit from the Jedi Council for 1 or 2 years because he had that ally who he could confide in and understand that the Jedi Council was not necessarily working properly, but he could be an influence on the Council.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout this disillusionment period where Dooku didn't exit the Jedi Council, they kept in touch. And of course, in this point, Qui-Gon was the master and Anakin was the apprentice, not Obi-Wan. And to the strength of Qui-Gon's influence on Dooku, he kept him in the Jedi Council because he was at least able to keep touch with him, perhaps, assuage some of his shortcomings of the Jedi Council, and maybe, give an alternate argument to what Dooku was feeling about the Jedi Council, and extending his understanding of perhaps that maybe leaving the Jedi Order wasn't probably the best thing at this point. And the fact that Anakin, at least in Qui-Gon's view, was the chosen one. Perhaps Dooku saw that, well, if Qui-Gon, my former pupil, was the one in charge of the training of Anakin, perhaps the Jedi Council's future was in better hands than it was with Yoda or Mace or some other member of the council.
Okay. Okay.
So with all that being said, mm-hmm. I believe that even with Qui-Gon living through the Phantom Menace mm-hmm. and providing, mental health support to Dooku mm-hmm. for a couple of years, Dooku still leaves the Jedi Order because okay. even with Qui-Gon's influence, the ultimate goal of the Jedi Council and what's going on and the corruption and the mm-hmm. fact that they can't see what the larger picture is, he still exits the Jedi Council.
Okay.
And although Qui-Gon didn't agree with it, there's not much he can do about that.
Okay.
So basically in this case, the 10-year gap that we see between The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones is not 10 years, it's maybe 8 years.
Okay.
Okay? So Obi-Wan becomes a Jedi Knight, uh-huh. and Qui-Gon trains Anakin. So in that 8-year period, we see, essentially, if you were just to lift Obi-Wan out of the role that we see in Attack of the Clones and insert Qui-Gon, he is the one accompanying Anakin at with this this meeting with Amidala and this mm-hmm. this threat to her life. Mm-hmm. So Jedi Council agrees with Qui-Gon that Maul was a Sith and mm-hmm. orders him to investigate further mm-hmm. this rising threat. During this time of the 8 years that we see that Qui-Gon is training Anakin, he confided in Qui-Gon about dreaming about Amidala because he saw her in the Phantom Menace. And Qui-Gon cautions him that, of course, attachments aren't allowed in the Jedi Council. So he does his best to help him understand what his feelings are and how he should put them aside. Not just with Amidala, but also Shmi. I mean, she's a huge influence on Anakin's personality and his traits. But that pull from both of them is very strong. So that is a definite challenge that Qui-Gon has to deal with while training Anakin. So upon seeing Amidala again for the first time in...
For the first time since the last time.
Exactly. The pull from Amidala to Anakin is still quite strong. Mm-hmm. And Qui-Gon sees this as a concerning point. But he keeps him in check by, you know, reminding him that attachments are not allowed in the Jedi Order and reminds him of his duty to the Jedi Order, but also as a Jedi Padawan, and in this case, to make sure that Amidala is protected from this threat. But Anakin still feels that pull and still utters those lines of like grown more beautiful. And, you know, she reminds him that, you know, the boy in Tatooine that she remembers for so long ago, it grounds him, but it doesn't dissuade him from his passion for Amidala. And Qui-Gon sees this as definitely as a threat to what he thinks Anakin should do, but he still sees it as a challenge that he still has to train him on. So all this is being compartmentalized for Qui-Gon as a challenge for him to change and to educate through. So we go through the whole process in The Phantom Menace and then into the Attack of the Clones. We see that Zam and the toxic dart after the assassination attempt on her. And the Jedi Council has assigned Qui-Gon to investigate the dart. Like, how is this possible? There's this bounty hunter that's trying to assassinate Amidala. And the second part of it is still Anakin taking Amidala back to Naboo. Qui-Gon would still see that Anakin taking her back to Naboo would be a challenge because of what he's seen in his past and the fact that he still has frailties and subtle hints that his relationship with Amidala is a threat to his Jedi ways. The Jedi Council says that, look, we are, and Yoda even says it, our assigning Anakin to escort Amidala back to Naboo is the will of the Jedi Council, and you should accept that and don't worry about it. You go find out what's going on with this toxic dart and this bounty hunter that tried to assassinate Amidala. So they are split once again. In the original movie, we see, of course, Obi-Wan going to Dex to find out more information about the dart and Anakin going off to Naboo with Amidala. In this case, Qui-Gon reaches out to Rael Averroes, his old ally and former co-Padawan to Dooku, to find out what he might know about these darts. And Rael Averroes lets him know about the Kaminoans and the cloners. And so he sets him off on that path.
Okay. Yeah.
So Qui-Gon arrives on Kamino and essentially follows the same path that we see Obi-Wan follows, except until the fact that the Kaminoans tell him that Sifo-Dyas was the one who ordered the clone army. So Qui-Gon realizes that Sifo-Dyas is a former master on the Jedi Council, and he's not surprised by the name, but he's certainly surprised by the fact that he had ordered the clone army. So he does relay that back to the Jedi Council. He was not acting on behalf of the Council like we see in the movies. So he's instructed very similarly in the Attack of the Clones to follow Jango Fett and bring him back to the Council.
Sure.
And leads him to the planet of Geonosis. And he lands there. And while he's on Geonosis, Anakin, he sees his mother Shmi being tortured and in distress on Tatooine. So him and Amidala go from Naboo to Tatooine, and he essentially slaughters the Sand People. And while Qui-Gon's on Geonosis, he sees this. And in the movie, we see actually that Qui-Gon voices Anakin, no. And we see Yoda actually receiving this message on Coruscant. But in this case, of course, it's literally Qui-Gon saying it. So Qui-Gon retreats to his starfighter. He actually flies from Geonosis to Tatooine and reunites with Anakin and Amidala. So he's not captured by the Geonosians. And he counsels Anakin because he senses his immense anger / shame for having slaughtered the Sand People. And he also discovers that the fact that he has now a deep love for Padme. And while he doesn't announce this specifically, he sort of puts it in the back of his mind, like this is probably not a very good thing for Anakin. He's got an attachment to his mother, and now he's determined a love for Padme. So they go back to Geonosis, because that is the center of the current threat, where not only Jango Fett is, but other actors are on the planet, perhaps trying to overthrow the Republic. And once they get there, they are captured in a similar fashion to where Obi-Wan is captured on Geonosis. And Dooku ends up giving the Sidious speech about the entire plot to Qui-Gon. But not Qui-Gon and Anakin and Amidala. They're separated. Mm-hmm. And Qui-Gon would reply to that by saying, yes, this council is incapable of seeing through the dark side's plot, but surely there must be a better path through the Force to guide us. So even though Dooku at this point is telling him that, look, there is serious problems within the Jedi Council and within the Senate, Dooku was trying to convince Qui-Gon that there are serious problems. We need to work together and do this. And I would think that Qui-Gon would be part of you know, maybe this is the right thing to do. We need to work together. And the fact that this was given to just Qui-Gon and not to Anakin and Padme, they do, all three of them end up in the arena. And also in this case, there's no droid factory scene. 3PO and R2 aren't there. There's none of this, I'm beside myself. All that droid stuff is not present. So you're welcome for that. So in this scenario, we don't have to experience any of that.
Yeah.
Instead of Obi-Wan in the arena with Anakin and Amidala, it's Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan in the...
Qui-Gon, Anakin, and Padme.
Correct. Qui-Gon.
Interesting.
Okay. And that plays out very similarly to what we see in the movies. And then we see that Mace and all the other Jedi arrive. Of course, in this case, Obi-Wan is included in this group of Jedi that are there. And then they battle through it. And we see that very similar to the movie. And of course, Obi-Wan does survive, and as does Mace. And Yoda and the clones eventually arrive. And we have the chase to Dooku's lair. Once they arrive there, Qui-Gon gives out an attack strategy, just like we see in the movies. But of course, Anakin pounces, and against what Qui-Gon had suggested. And of course, Qui-Gon screams, "No, Anakin, no!" And Dooku force lightnings him and shoves him over to the side with the force push. But at this point, using that force lightning, Qui-Gon realizes that Dooku is now channeling the dark side of the force. And so the alarms now have gone off in Qui-Gon's mind that Dooku, while being a separatist and trying to get him to join his view and his perspective of the galaxy, now he's seeing that he's crossed the line, and he's definitely apprehensive. He's not just a separatist, he could now be a Sith. So Qui-Gon engages Dooku, and he reorients to him, and they start an epic lightsaber battle. They go back and forth, and Anakin rejoins the fray. Dooku does manage to split them apart. He does slice off Anakin's arm, as we see in the movie. And during this battle, after Anakin's exited, because he's lost his arm, Qui-Gon says, "You once told me that I was a much wiser man than you. I plead with you now to stop this path you are on." And Dooku looks at him and looks over at Anakin. Because he's confided in him that Anakin is the chosen one, he moves to strike and kill Anakin. Qui-Gon inserts himself between him and Anakin, and he is dealt a deathly blow and is on his last breath on Geonosis, seeing Anakin off to his left and Dooku basically above him, and sends a thought to Obi-Wan. "Watch over Anakin. His training is not complete." And he dies.
Oh boy. Okay.
A funeral pyre for Qui-Gon and all the other fallen Jedi at the temple are performed on Coruscant. And that's the end of Qui-Gon.
Okay. All right. I know that was tough for you to get through. because of your appreciation for Qui-Gon.
This was one of the hardest things for me to go through and to write through, because Qui-Gon died in The Phantom Menace.
Yes.
And to explore
and
a what if,
given a glimmer of hope of him surviving.
Yes.
Yes.
So if I sounded distracted throughout my entire diatribe here, it's because mostly I would have loved for all this to have come true, but it didn't. And it's quite difficult to go through, but an amazing idea to explore. So let's go with yours and see where you end up.
You had the idea of a favorite character staying alive.
Yes.
All right. So here we go. Before that, we'll take a quick break.
Commander Standil, a word, please.
Yes, sir. Certainly, sir.
Before we get to Endor, I have a very important question.
Sir? Anything I can do, sir?
What do you use for life insurance?
From troopers to grand admirals, we've all asked that question at some point, mostly before missions involving rebels. Imperial Direct Life Insurance is your answer.
Oh, I use IDL, sir. Competitive rates, great customer service. But my agents keep dying on missions.
Imperial Direct Life Insurance, eh? I'll have to look into them.
Sir, you may want the comm of my most recent agent sooner than later. I see the Emperor coming.
Captain, you may start your landing on Endor. I'm sure you will do well, as I have foreseen the success of this mission.
Call IDL today before your next mission.
Rates increase proportionally to chances of death. All claims processing must be done in person after missions on the second Death Star. Claim approved by Darth Vader.
Bow, bow.
Oh, and we are back. So, now that we've gone through my scenario of what would have happened if Qui-Gon had existed through the Phantom Menace, let's hear how Pat would have seen it, and much more eloquently stated and structured, because he's not a blithering mess of emotion on the other side.
No thanks. The end. All right, fine. See, when I first came up with this idea, I was like, this is a great idea. And then I explored it. It's not such a great idea. if Qui-Gon survived the Phantom Menace. Firstly, the scenario is the same Duel of the Fates setup, but because he's still young and impulsive, Obi-Wan uses force speed to get through the laser gates and forces Maul into a one-on-one, wherein he and Maul spar and he is wounded. Maul, being Maul, would be theatrical about it, because of course he would. And and as he comes in for the kill, as he's circling his victim, the laser gates open and Qui-Gon darts in, dealing Maul a similar blow that sends the villain careening into the abyss. However, Obi-Wan still succumbs to his injuries, and Qui-Gon trains Anakin.
Wait, are you saying Obi-Wan's dead?
I don't like it either.
Oh my god.
I don't
Holy crap.
You made me do this, Westcott.
No, I didn't. That's you right. Did this.
That's right. I have done that myself.
Okay. So Obi-Wan's dead.
I didn't say that. I said he succumbs to his injuries. Okay. Let's not,
all right. Holy crap.
Let's not do that right now, please. So, Qui-Gon trains Anakin as the father / mentor that Anakin needs. But he teaches Anakin the way he believes, which leads to Anakin still not becoming a master and not getting to sit on the council. This angers him, and Palpatine continues to groom him while fostering the contrarianism that Qui-Gon Jinn encouraged. At the start of the Clone Wars, Jinn is not in the trenches with Anakin due to his age and general aversion to leading a platoon of clones anyway. So that bond starts to break down anyway, as Anakin never saw Jinn as a brother and now sees him as a distant father. Skywalker is still tempted by the dark side towards the end of the Clone Wars, and when Jinn is around 61 years old, after Padme is already pregnant, he uncovers Palpatine's plot and attempts to alert the council, who already didn't believe him about the prophecy of Anakin, and they dismiss his urges to act, as they do. And Jinn confronts Palpatine. Palpatine wins and defeats Qui-Gon in a manner similar to how he murdered Mace Windu in current canon, whilst disfiguring himself. Since Qui-Gon was already roguish, Palpatine claims he turned against Palpatine, the Republic, and the Jedi Order, branding him a traitor, which upsets the Jedi, who he then lumps in with Qui-Gon and uses their treason to execute Order 66. Since there is no Obi-Wan, the twins aren't separated, and they grow up with the Organas. Since they're together, their force energy synergizes, and Vader senses them. He senses something. So then Luke trained for the rebellion military, as his force powers were stronger than Leia's, so Vader knows he is his son and seeks him out. In a plea to have Luke join him, Luke rejects the idea, and since he flies off the handle, as Luke does, he tries to attack Vader and Palpatine. He is destroyed by Palpatine and made an example of to keep Vader in line. Then Leia hears of this and begins exploring Force lore. When she is meditating, the voice of Qui-Gon reaches out to her and tells her to seek out Yoda on Dagobah. She undergoes training with Yoda without Vader knowing she exists. So she has plenty of time to train and be prepared to face Vader. There's a similar showdown as Luke in Return of the Jedi, but Leia drops the "I am your daughter" on Vader.
Oh my God.
And he begins to turn against the man who murdered his son. A similar outcome occurs wherein Anakin sacrifices himself for his daughter. But before he dies, he tells her of Ahsoka and that Leia must seek her out to breathe new life into the Force and begin a Jedi school. She becomes the new Grandmaster of the Jedi.
Wow.
Yeah, super crazy. Crazy.
Holy crap. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, so she and Ahsoka then work together to construct and build a training program and facility for Force sensitives in the time of what would be the sequel trilogy.
Dang.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so that's mind-blowing, first of all.
Yes.
And for me, my story was about Qui-Gon and Dooku.
Of course it was.
And how, I mean, if you think about it, Dooku left the Jedi Order after Qui-Gon Jinn was killed.
Yes.
Like, it was his death that almost was the turning point for Dooku.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh my God, my last hope.
Right.
Not just my Padawan, but my last hope for a galaxy-wide view,
yeah,
of the Jedi Order is gone. I'm out.
Yeah.
And that for me was the biggest impact. I mean, I had a struggle to read through what I had written here because, like I said, the idea that Qui-Gon could live through this, but now you've taken it and you've extended it to essentially the sequel trilogy, that which is, wow. Holy crap.
Yeah.
We've touched upon this too in previous episodes where what if Leia was the one that had trained with Yoda?
Right.
And so what you're saying here is that because of Qui-Gon, she becomes the one who is trained.
Yeah, because, you know, with them being brought up together, she would be brought up in the Senate to be more of the figurehead. And what's there for Luke to do as a young, able-bodied male, but to join the military ranks of the rebellion?
Right.
Wherein, through his training, he would grow stronger in the Force and attract the wrong kind of attention. And then, you know, with his bullheadedness, still never join you. And but that whole interaction, instead of just being with Vader on Cloud City, would be between the two of them. And he wouldn't win. Because he hasn't undergone any of the training.
Right.
Yikes.
And my exit for Qui-Gon was with the meeting with Dooku, and after having, you know, reservations that, well, maybe perhaps that his perspective of this conflict that he sees within the Jedi and the larger galaxy, as he was viewing Dooku as a separatist, but then he sees, and I literally watched the movies, right, and then placed Qui-Gon in place of Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
And how would he view this, what's going on? Yeah. And he sees the Force lightning.
Yeah.
And then, let alone his red lightsaber. It's like, holy crap, you're a Sith. that was my break point, is like, okay. Uh-huh. And let alone the fact that we have the Clone Wars, the entire seven seasons of the Clone Wars. I can't imagine extrapolating Qui-Gon being, I mean, that is mind blowing.
Yeah. And the idea that Obi-Wan is not there at all.
Right. Or, well, he's there, but he's another, another Jedi doing his thing, you know? And
right. Well, would have happened was Obi-Wan would have proven his mettle and become a Jedi Knight. So then Qui-Gon was then free again to train another youngling, which would have been Anakin.
Anakin.
Whereas in mine, he perishes and is not there at all.
That's, I mean, for you.
I know.
And what was it that you said that I had said? I had suggested a what if, and you said you refused to explore that. What was it? Let me go back here.
I don't want to talk about it. What if Maul defeated Obi-Wan in Rebels?
And you said, I refuse to explore that.
I know. Because I don't want him to be defeated.
But he was defeated in The Phantom Menace!
It's not my fault!
Oh, man. Now, okay, so in your scenario, how does Qui-Gon then educate the Jedi Council on the Living Force? That being Yoda?
He doesn't. The only one he's able to effectively reach out to is Leia. When she goes into the purest of meditations because of Yoda.
And because Yoda survived all of this.
Right.
He's taken the training from Qui-Gon. And as we saw in the Clone Wars episodes, where that deep lore dive into the Living Force.
Yeah.
He educates Leia on that and opens her up for the possibility of receiving those communications.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing how important Qui-Gon was for this entire story. It's a huge tapestry that when you pull that one string, it's wow.
Yeah, how things kind of splinter into so many different directions.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Well, those are two, like,
remember how we would do these before, and one of us had like a bad story and one of us had a good story?
Yeah.
This ain't it.
No.
No. No.
This was a heavy one for sure.
I know.
And we would typically do like two what ifs. Yeah, this one was
one
entire episode.
I don't want to do any more what ifs. I want to crawl into a hole.
Yes, because I'm not liking, I mean, both sides are
not good.
No, but I mean, I think the interpretation of both of them is that Qui-Gon is such an important character. The story could change so drastically.
Oh, like fundamentally change.
Yeah. And from one character, I mean, can you choose another character at that point and affect so many stories? It would be, you're pretty hard pressed to do that.
Well, I mean, Anakin, but.
So, okay, all right, Anakin, yeah.
But yeah, I see what you mean. I see what you mean, because that's, you know, again, the story fundamentally changes based on the role that these key players play. And, you know, if their story is abridged, or if it's changed, brought to the forefront, like with Qui-Gon being more present throughout the prequels, it changes everything, you know?
Yeah, and if you think of Sidious or Palpatine, I mean, yes, he was a master tactician.
Yeah.
But you would have assumed that if Qui-Gon existed through the Phantom Menace and continued to be the master to the apprentice of Anakin, that would have been a huge problem for him.
Absolutely.
Because of his...
So you play on his outsiderness of the council. And how and Anakin's desire to be on the council, and how the way he's been taught it will fundamentally prevent him from being on the council, and plays right into his hands.
Yes, and whereas Obi-Wan casted a blind eye to his relationship with Amidala, Qui-Gon would have quashed that as much as he could, at least, you know, and cautioned him against it. Absolutely. And that would have completely gone against Sidious's plans.
And I think that Anakin's love for Padme, you know, when Qui-Gon was like, you can't see her anymore, Anakin, he would have said, screw you, I'm seeing her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that would drive another wedge between him and his mentor and him and the council.
Right. Oh, my God.
So I think the main takeaway from all this is Palpatine's a jerk.
And Qui-Gon would have been the best teacher for Anakin.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the bottom line is you got destiny. You know, you've got these things that occur that still cause trouble throughout the galaxy, you know?
Yeah. And all those different things aside, you still have Sidious pulling the master strings.
Exactly.
And he was a master tactician and would have had a backup plan for a backup plan for a backup
taking
plan
B and C and D and running with whichever one fit the current happenings.
Right. So if it wasn't Maul who would take out either Qui-Gon or Obi-Wan, it would have been Asajj Ventress or whatever. It would have been a pawn within his master plan to make Anakin become who he was.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't like it.
He sucks.
The worst. The worst.
But what an exploration. Wow.
Yeah, it's you know, and as it story keeps unfolding, it's like, oh, wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So now that happened, now this is going to, you're like, oh, no. You know, it just kind of snowballs into mayhem.
Yes.
And galactic upheaval. Oh, boy.
Well,
yeah.
There we go.
So we won't do another one of these for a while.
We need a rest.
Yes. So for some of our good episodes, our happy episodes, you can find us at conversations.com, facebook.com/conversations, on Twitter @suations, Instagram is conversations. We have our Etsy t-shirt shop.
Is called Commerce Suations, C-O-M-M-E-R-C-E, Suations.
I see what you did there.
See what we did there?
Because it's like Commerce Suations, but Commerce.
But Commerce Suations. There we go. Uh-huh.
Yes. And don't forget our link.tree/conversations. And of course, proud founding members of the Red 5 Podcast Network at bio.link/red5. I think that's it. For Rob with the Jedi Temple Archives, I'm Pat.
And I am Charles. And join us next time as we explore the world of the Wills.
Greetings, listener. Just a reminder that the podcast you just heard is a proud member of the Red 5 Network family. Red5Network.com offers you a great variety of shows you'll be sure to love. So the next time you're itching for quality content,
make sure you head over to Red5Network.com.
You'll find this podcast along with a whole lot more.
All wings report in.
It's the Red 5 Network.